Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today, my friends, we're going to hit the mailbag. I've got an email here that I thought was interesting. Guy writes to me after listening to me, he says, listen to your show today. Started with the article about Needing to Fail More by Michael Jordan made me realize something. All right, so but there was an article out there that was talking about the fact that Michael Jordan wasn't a superstar in high school. He didn't even make the team in high school as a basketball player, but he kept practicing and training and practicing and training and practicing and training. And it's like there's that old saying that everybody's first time success comes after 10,000 hours of practice. And it is so true. And I think that's important because you look at this situation. And when I talk to people, you know, I'm speaking to spectrums anywhere from ages in the 20s, early 20s, all the way up into their 70s. And the reality is that it doesn't matter where you start. You just have to start. And then you have to take steps, one step after the other after the other. Now, some people can move through the steps quicker than others. Some people have a lot more to start with, but what I've found is the real secret here is getting started. So he goes on and says, Buzz Aldrin, that's an astronaut, in a book he wrote called No Dream is Too High, he uses the quote, "Don't tell me the sky is the limit when there are footprints on the moon." I put them up there myself. Sometimes when you aim for the moon, you land almost amongst the stars. Some dreams lead you where you actually wanted to be and not where you originally aimed for. So there it is. The bottom line is that you can't even conceive what you could achieve. That's the problem. The book, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, in the first chapter and repeatedly throughout the book, almost every chapter comes back to the point that whatever the mind of man can conceive and believe, it can achieve. The problem is you can't conceive it. If you were to know what people of my financial position, which, by the way, I'm nowhere near the financial position of very wealthy people. I mean, you think about Donald Trump or anybody, rich guys. I mean, really rich guys, billionaires, put it that way. I'm in the millionaire category. There are billionaires out there, which is 1,000 million, by the way. A billion's 1,000 million. So whatever number of millions I have, just 1,000 times that, and that's a billionaire. I can't conceive that life. I mean, I really can't. That's why I can't achieve it. I can't even conceive how do you wrap your arms around getting there. What are you willing to give up in your life to get there? Because you got to give something up to get something, right? And I understand the people I'm working with don't understand how to be millionaires. It's not where you started. Your parents didn't know how to do it. Your best friend wasn't a millionaire. Probably even your CPA isn't a millionaire, or your coach, your boss probably isn't a millionaire. And especially if you're talking about mega millionaires. So we have a lot of people that attain millionaire status very quickly here at Lifestyles, but that multiple mega millionaire to where you have lots of money, do whatever you want, go wherever you want, isn't something that most people can't conceive. So what do you do, Del? I can't conceive it. I understand that. Well, the first thing you do is you go sign up and get involved with a group of millionaires. Whatever you hang out with, there's a saying, and I don't even know how to say it because I've not lived by it, but it says, whoever your five best friends are is who you will be. The average of your five best friends is you. So if your five best friends are mediocre or middle class, then you're going to be mediocre or middle class. So for me to be a billionaire, I'd have to go find five billionaires to hang out with. I don't have them. I didn't ever make that point. Now, by the way, I probably could have. I probably could have worked my way into going to places where billionaires hung out. I probably could have met Tillman Fertitta. I probably could have gone to him and said, hey, I'll work for you for nothing if you'll just let me, you know, work for you. I want to be around this. I want to understand this. I probably could have done that with multiple other people because I was smart enough that I could have done a good job for them. I probably could have hung out with them. I probably could have learned something from them, befriended them, whatever. That's what it would have taken to become a billionaire. By the way, there's no courses on billionaires. There's lots of courses on how to be a millionaire. And there's no books on how to be a billionaire. By the way, there are books about billionaires. Billionaires won't tell you what they know. Now, interesting point, in the old times, millionaires wouldn't tell you what they knew. But nowadays, with information marketing, the bottom line is you can get tremendous amount of information now over just the internet. The challenge is, though, what you don't get is the truth. You get what they want you to hear and not what you should hear. That's why if you come down and join up Lifestyles, if you're going on this road trip with me tomorrow, right, you're going to spend the whole day with me. And then afterwards, dinner, cocktails. And you're going to be asking intimate questions. I'm going to be giving you intimate answers. This is a much different type of a deal. You're going to see the inside of what we do in this business, how we make millions. That's a different kind of thing. Now, I want to end this part of the discussion with something that happened the other day. I was sitting around and there was nothing good on TV. Everything is politics now and or Olympics. And I was just getting a little tired of Olympics and definitely tired of politics. So I looked for something else and I found this movie called Con Air. And I'd seen Con Air before. My wife goes, you're going to watch that again? I go, yeah, I just can't remember exactly. It seemed like it was a good movie. So I watched it and it, sure enough, it was a great movie. But in the movie, there came a spot where Nicolas Cage, who was a con that was a good guy, who had hit parole, and when I say good guy, he was only there because somebody attacked his wife. He beat the guy up and killed him. And so he was there, got 8 years, right? But Jim Buscemi, he was a psychomaniac killer that killed 34 people in a row. And they were sitting there on the plane, and Nicolas Cage was telling him, because things had gone on, he said, just shut up, just leave me alone. And he goes, I don't want to hear your stories about what you think's important to Buscemi. And Buscemi goes, why? He goes, because you're crazy. And Buscemi looked at him and goes, I'm crazy. Let's think about this for a second. What if you decided that you're going to spend your entire life getting up and going to work every day, driving there, driving home, miserable? You do that for 40 years and then they terminate you. They fire you. They leave you with nothing. Your wife leaves you. She takes the kids and the dog and you have nothing. And at that point in your life, you decide to kill yourself. Which one's really crazy? Your way or my way? That's what you gotta ask yourself sometimes. Are you not living a life of quiet desperation, living a life of crazy? Isn't it time you think about maybe fixing that? Next one says, I've been listening to a radio show on the way home from work for the past few months, and I really want to join and get started. Sadly, I have been in the workforce for several years now and have little to show for it. My finances are in minuscule state, and I want to make a plan to save up enough to get started for the program. My question is, what's a good target goal to have to save up in order to get started? I'm starting from zero, so I expect it might take a couple of years, but I want to get started to help myself. Can you please let me know what dollar amount it might take to get started? You know, this really kind of hits me hard that an individual, and he doesn't say what age he is here or what he does, but he's been in the workforce for some time and he has no money. How do we be in the workforce and have no money, right? Now, I'm going to answer his question, by the way, so don't think I'm going to leave him hanging. But Mike, I was thinking about this the other day. In fact, no, I wasn't thinking about it. I actually heard one of my own radio shows. That's what it was. And I was talking about the fact that ever since I was a kid, I lived on half of what I earned. So when I got an allowance, which I didn't, it was just the fact that when I went out and earned a small amount of money, when I started as a kid doing things, whatever it was I earned, if I earned $10 a week, I saved $5 and spent the other $5. And when I got up to where I made, you know, had a salary, it was $600 a month, was my salary, my first job. I saved $300 a month and spent $300 a month. You have to understand, most people will tell you, you need more than that to live on. Well, you need more than that to live on if you set yourself up that way, right? When I lived on $600 a month, I lived in an apartment and I rented a bedroom for $100 a month. That's all I spent. I didn't rent the apartment. I had a guy. I met a guy, or actually I looked for a guy that was looking for a roommate that just wanted to lease out one of the bedrooms of his apartment. I interviewed for the deal. He thought I was a normal guy. I thought he was a normal guy, so I rented the room. Worked perfect. $100. That's it. Right? And that covered my room and my utilities and everything else. And then I could still save a few bucks along the way. Now, let's get back to his question, make sure it gets answered. What does it cost? Membership here is $740. We have a special on the radio right now. If you hear it, it's $298. So you got $300 invested in the education to learn how to do this stuff. Second, it's going to cost you about $10,000 to be able to buy a house. So how can you buy a house for $10,000? I can't buy a house for $10,000. You can't buy a house for $10,000. You don't know what you're doing. But we can go out and buy a $200,000 house for $100,000, put $50,000 in it, and the lenders, hard money lenders, will lend us 75% of the after repaired value, which is $200,000, which is $150,000. They'll lend us $150,000 to buy that. That gives us the money to buy it and to rehab it. And now all we need is the closing cost. Get into one loan. And then the closing cost to get out of that hard money loan into another long 30-year fully amortizing loan. With all that within $10,000. So you could buy your first rent house with $10,000 or less. You could get into this program for $300. You just have to do it. So in this person's case, you know, he doesn't even sound like he can save $10,000. That's the scary part. But if you get $10,000 or more, you need to stop convincing yourself you can't do it. You need to get in here and get started because it's just a series of steps. You know the old saying, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. How do you become wealthy? One transaction at a time. Take a short break. Be right back with the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Are you caught in the hamster wheel of life, day in and day out, looking for a new solution? Well, today you can take action to retire in 5 years or less. How? Passive income through real estate investing. And the team to help you? Lifestyles Unlimited. For more than 33 years, our team of successful educators and mentors teach folks just like you the roadmap to retirement through real estate. Learn from the best. Lifestyles Unlimited, known for the systems and support to help you real estate retire, just like Chad and Lisa.
Having the consulting team, having other avenues within your whole system is what's made y'all successful. Everyone is there to guide you to be successful. So it's just up to you to get off the butt and do it.
Do it. Take action today with this introductory offer for $297, the Lifestyles Unlimited Financial Freedom Program. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297, a 60% savings. Lifestyles Unlimited. Text radio to 88007.
You're hearing the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. Today we are working through the mailbag, and the next email that I received says, hey Del, I live in Georgia. No, I'm sorry. I live in Maryland. I've been trying to invest in Georgia. But I thought that I had a question. I have 74,000 $74,000 and another $70,000 in equity in my home. What does that say? The question is, I have $74K and another $70,000 equity in my home. Not a young person, but still working in good condition. What is your thoughts about going to the passive investment route? Well, this is the thing I'm going to be showing this weekend. I'm going to be showing two apartment complexes. One of them is a small one with a massive amount of rehab. And these are the kinds of deals we'll go in there. And this is the kind of number. Buy an apartment complex, just 10 unit. You buy it for $400,000. You stick another $400,000 in it, $200,000 in it. So you have $600,000 in it. And it turns around and becomes worth $1.2 million. And you make $600,000 on $600,000. But that's not exactly right, because the $600,000 we don't pay cash for. We will borrow the $600,000. And maybe we have to put 20% down on the $600,000, so maybe we have to put down $120,000. But we make $600,000 on $120,000. Now, those are unreal numbers. The second one we're going to go see is a larger one. And how that one, same thing, look at that deal, what they're doing to turn that deal around. A little bit slower to turn a big one around. So it doesn't happen quickly like the small ones do. The small ones are my bread and butter. That's where you make tons of money. But you make it quick over a short period of time, 18 months, 24 months, and you're in and out of that deal. The larger ones might take 36 months to turn it around instead of 18 months. So why do the bigger one? Well, because a lot of people can get into the larger one. We're talking about a $10, $12 million deal instead of a $600,000 deal. A lot more money can be invested. A lot more people get involved. So it's a workable thing. Also, the larger one is newer and nicer, and it's the kind of place you'd keep after you fixed it. Now, the smaller ones typically, our investors fix them up, rent them out, keep them for a year or two so they can go to long-term capital gains, and then they turn around and sell them. So they can move on to another deal and or move on to a larger deal, one of the two, however that works out. So let's move on to the next email here. This one starts out with, I'm sort of a news junkie. That's a shame. I'm sort of a news junkie. You got to think about all what's on the news. Everything on the news is negative, is it not? I mean, I listen to all this political stuff, and I'll tell you what, I have something I just got to bring up. If you ever, I listen to, I'm not a Democrat or Republican, just so you know, but I listen to both Fox, and I listen to CNN, I listen to CNBC. And I'll tell you what, you want to find some miserable people in this world, you need to listen to the Democrats and their news channels like CNN and CNBC. These are the most unhappy people I've ever seen in my life. They're miserable and hateful people. I'm just unbelievable. Now, the only reason I tell you that is because if they're in control and they're miserable, the question comes up, why are you not miserable? And the answer is probably you are, right? But if you listen to this stuff every day, you're going to be miserable. That's all there is to it. You will be miserable. So the news, I know some of you news junkies, but the reality is it's hard on your head. You better have something else that you can balance it out with. So I'm going to read on. I just took that one sentence out of this guy's whole giant paragraph here. It says, what are your thoughts on if Russia, Iran, and China, and potentially India, and other countries start trading directly and cut the dollar out of their transactions? And if the world's perception of the dollar starts to weaken, the value of the dollar could go down, which could cause the price of everything to inflate. My concern is if that happens and the renters can't pay their rent to us and we still have to pay property taxes on our property, then they could be taken by the government, taxing entities. I don't trust the government, and I know we'd love to take people's properties. Have you thought much about this scenario? Wow. Oh, my gosh. First of all, this guy almost sounds like a Republican or a libertarian, thinking, you know, very, very much fearful in life that the world's going to change. It's changing. And I would suggest to you my thoughts, only that they're my thoughts, no more. There's no facts, no figures behind any of what I'm about to say. But I think it's a long, hard road before these guys take over the dollar as being the mainly traded currency. But if they do, what you have to understand is America will still be using dollars. And you say, well, the dollar will be weakened. The dollar weakened is going to be weakened for everybody and everything. So if that happens, the Democrats will get voted out across the board. Realize they control the Senate, they control the presidency, and they are 50% of or 49% of the House, which means the Republicans can do very little in the House. So they're making all the decisions. If that happens, I guarantee you there will be a landslide against them. They'll be gone. You know, you get the House and the Senate every 2 years or whatever. They'll be gone. They'll just wipe them out because people will understand that they actually are destroying the country, which is what everybody on the Republican side says they're doing now. So it will just be proof in the pudding, just like they said Biden couldn't, you know, run the country. And then they had the debate. The Democrats lie about everything they do. And everybody out there, even the Democrats, know that. But they don't want to give up the power because they've been brainwashed to believe the Republicans will destroy everything. So am I afraid of it? No, not at all. In fact, commerce would probably go on without anything even changing. Probably wouldn't even affect us. If the dollar is inflated, if our country is inflated, by the way, do you realize how much inflation there's been in the last 3 years since Biden's taken over? I mean, when inflation is 9% and stuff goes up by 9%, an inflation rate comes down to 6, to 5, to 4. That inflation didn't go away. There's not negative inflation. All of those things that we're buying are already too expensive. All of our tenants are already living under that struggle, and they're still paying rent. Let's move on to the next one here. It says, it's interesting because this email, I've had it around for a while. It's not brand new, but it is this year. It's, I think, May of this year, something like that. This guy emailed me this. And I brought this up because people have strange perceptions of how they think real estate works, and they're doing it wrong. You can be a very intelligent person. You can own your own business and have no idea how real estate works. I don't know if this guy's penciling it out from the point of view that he's not using any leverage and he's paying full cash, or if it's this next statement, I'm in San Diego area and I don't really want to travel far or have arm's length ownership of properties. Well, there it is. You can't buy real estate in California and make sense of it. Not as rental properties. First of all, this is a tenant-friendly state. The laws preclude you from doing the things that would make these properties profitable, which is raise the rent. Okay? This just doesn't work. And yet he says he doesn't want to be a hands-off landlord. Why do you not want to be a hands-off landlord? Is another question, because you believe that it's impossible to do. Yet I have members all over the country. We have a saying, you live where you want to live and invest where you should invest. And we've got people investing all over the Midwest, the South, Texas, even as far west as Phoenix. But nobody that has any common sense whatsoever is going to invest in California. It just isn't happening. In fact, I don't know if you guys understand this or not, but people are moving out of California at super, super high rates. In fact, exponentially high rates. The state is insane. I'll tell you a story. There's a wildfire in California right now, 7th largest wildfire. You know what they won't tell you about that fire? Is that the guy who set it was a pedophile that was arrested for pedophilia, playing with a young kid. He was let out because they let everybody out of jail there. They don't hold anybody. There's no bond in California. And he decided to skip his bond, break his bond, not show back up, and take off and hide. As he ran away to take off and hide, he decided he better get rid of the car that he's running in because and get another car. So he took the car, started it on fire, and pushed it off a cliff. And that, my friends, is how the seventh largest fire in California got started. The Californians' legal system is out of their mind. And if you don't see that, you don't understand that whatever property you own there, you own a business there, they can come in and steal all your stuff. They can burn your place to the ground. There's no protection for the businessman. So having said that, of course he can't figure out how to make a pencil out, right? And let's go on and see what he says. I have a bit of construction background. Well, there's another problem right there. He wants to do the construction. And I am knowledgeable enough to be able to know how to build and maintain properties. I would eventually hire a manager, but now I'm just looking for a way to get into market locally if possible. My question is, how many units would it take to pencil out in that area? There's no number of units, Jerry, that pencil out that makes sense there. The costs are too high that, you know, in every way, shape, and form in California. The numbers just don't make sense. The people that own real estate there and making money are doing one of two ways. One, they've owned them forever and bought them for much, much cheaper than what they're for sale now. And or secondly, it's a situation where they're designed to lose money for somebody. Somebody else put up the money. The people managing them just make money from the management fees, right? So let's move on to the next one here. It says, I've been looking for a hard money lender in my area, Pennsylvania, and in doing so, I came across a private lender that is also a real estate investor. Much of the philosophy is in line with lifestyles, using leverage, avoiding taxes, etc. But the major difference is that he recommends using fix and flip deals to increase the available capital and then using the proceeds from those deals to fund rental properties. In his view, this is the way to produce more rental and more rental property more quickly if you have a limited amount of cash to start with. If I understand correctly, he rolls the gains from the sale over to rental properties using a 1031. I fully plan to continue using Lifestyle's model, but I am curious, can you roll proceeds from fix and flip over to a rental deal? And the answer is no, you cannot, and that's where the guy's lying to you. If you fix and flip, it's ordinary income. You got to pay taxes on it. Unless if you were to do what we do, which is fix and hold for 1 year or 2 years, whatever it is you believe. Because, by the way, some CPAs believe it's 1 year and 1 day. And some CPAs believe it's 2 years before you can do a 1031. I won't get into that argument. We only have a few minutes left here in the show, or even a few seconds left in the show. But the bottom line is, if you hold on to it, this system that you're talking about works very well. You just have to hold on to it until you can do the 1031. All right, my friends, I hope this stuff helps out. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow in San Antonio. And remember always, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.